It's been a while that we finished this series, but today is a great day to talk about being blessed and grateful. Thanksgiving is a great week for us to just pause and say, you know what? We truly are blessed and grateful. First of all, for being Christians. Second, for living in America. Not so much, huh? Okay. All right, now we are truly. Okay. And, you know, the Thanksgiving time is a real, it's all about the heart, isn't it? We're giving thanks, we sit down for that lovely meal. It's not really about the stomach, it's about the heart. But it's the heart of the whole event, the whole week. It's just thinking about how good God has been in our life and being blessed and grateful, as I want to share with you today, is seriously about the heart. You know, I never forget the time, well, when we came here to the States, which is now 25 years ago, it was very difficult for us to get started because we didn't have any credit in this country. We had no credit cards. We couldn't buy anything, couldn't rent anything, couldn't get a phone. It was terrible. But eventually, we managed to get a home, to rent a home. We had to put 3 months down cash in order for the guy to give us a lease. But then we ran out of money, and we were sleeping on the floor. We had no food. And by then, I had got hold of a cell phone and or a phone in the home. I'm not sure back then. It was probably a phone in the home 25 years ago. If I'd said cell phone, they would have thought I was from another planet. Mobile. So I got a call from a very well-known minister who used to have a church in Dallas. And he was visiting here, and he called me, and he said, let's go for lunch. And I was thrilled about that because I hadn't eaten for a while. My family, of course, didn't come with. I felt bad for them, but at least one of us is going to be strong. So we went out for this wonderful lunch, you know, he apologized for not coming to my church, even though he works here and everything. I said, no, don't worry about that, you know. He had 5,000 people in his church. So anyway, the next day, a check arrived via UPS from his ministry of $5,000 for our church, and we were able to eat again. And I want to tell you, blessed and grateful comes, you know, you respond out of gratitude to God's goodness. And God's good to you. You can't hold it back. You just let it go. You want everybody to know how good God is. Isn't that true? And here I am, 25 years later, telling you God was good. There was a time when things were tough, and we didn't have food, and all these things were going wrong. But God had a person, spoke to that person, and that person gave us what we needed. And that was enough to take care of us until the church actually got going. So I just wanted to give God thanks this morning. So I know if you've had God touch your heart, then I know it triggers gratitude. Isn't that right? Okay. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at some Old Testament material. Comes from the law of Moses, and we're going to look at the New Testament as well, and we're going to compare the two things. And you'll be surprised to see how that God was looking at the heart in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. So we're going to first of all start by looking at one of the most famous sermons that Jesus ever preached, and it's found in Matthew chapter 7 and also Luke chapter 6. So Matthew chapter 7, it begins like this in verse 1. It says, judge not that you be not judged. All right? And everybody knows that, right? Everybody. So, I mean, not even Christians. Don't judge me, right? Don't judge me. They know that. For with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And with what measure you used, it will be measured back to you again. Now, look at a parallel version, exactly recorded. The same. This is recorded by Matthew. Now, let's look what recorded by Luke. And it's found in Luke 6, verse 37. It starts just the same way. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. And then verse 38 finishes like this. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So how many of you can see it's the same teaching? Got it? All right. But there's a very interesting and very famous verse that is well used that is stuck right in the middle of Luke 6 and verse 38. And usually what happens is we'll take Luke 6, 38, and we'll take it out of context, and we'll use it for good purpose, to build faith in our hearts concerning giving and receiving. But I want you to look and see where this verse is actually tucked in. So let's go back to Luke 6 and verse 37. Begin reading again. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you again. Now, here's the beauty, really, of the multifaceted character of the word. It's actually astounding. You know, the Bible talks about the two-edged sword, and I'm wondering if it's just not got more edges than two. But the principle that we read in the scripture about giving and being given back to us, now we use that to build faith so that when we give, that we can expect to receive a return on our giving. And that's right, and that's fine. It's not a problem. But there's another aspect to it that I want to draw your attention to today. And this is the application that I believe that if you grasp this application, it's actually a revelation of what Jesus is trying to talk about, and he's talking about the heart. He's actually talking about the heart. And it will totally revolutionize your life if you grasp this, all right? Watch this. He says, don't judge, and you won't be judged. He says, don't condemn people, and you won't be condemned. Then he says, forgive, and you will be forgiven, all right? This is Jesus speaking. Now, many people don't know this, but the word forgive, in the Greek, the root word forgive is actually just give. Give. That's all it is, give. Now, the word for, F-O-R, means in favor of. In favor of. So if you're for giving, then you're in favor of giving. And here's the interesting thing. I want to connect these two together because a lot of people don't see this. I want to show you that the heart of forgiving people is the same heart as for giving generously to God. If you are pro or for giving financially, you're also going to be pro-forgiving people. And if you have a hard heart towards people, you'll have a hard heart when it comes to money. You'll have a closed end. Can we go home now? Is that enough? Okay, so in the context, what we're reading here, Jesus is saying this. This is his passage. He's talking about the condition of the heart. And he says, don't be judgmental, don't be condemning, but be forgiving. And what he's really saying, if you look at that statement in the middle, there's a strong warning. And the warning is this, that whatever you're dishing out is going to come back to you. And then some. That's what he's saying. He's warning us. Now, we can take it as a promise, but it's like, I promise you it's going to happen to you. So whatever you're doing is going to come back to you. So make sure that your words are sweet, because you will be eating them. All right? Okay. So it's going to come back. Now, God wants to deal with our heart. It's critical. Your heart is everything. Your heart is everything. If you get the right heart, everything else falls into place. That's why God caused us to have a born-again new heart, because it's all about the heart. So we're going to talk about the heart condition today, and we're not talking about the blood pump. I want to show you what Jesus is addressing. And I know this is Thanksgiving. You say, well, this is a strange Thanksgiving message. Not really. Not really. We're talking about giving thanks. That's what actually we're doing. Are you grateful enough to give thanks? So I want to take you now to the law of Moses. So if you go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15, and if you didn't bring your Bibles with, we'll have it on the screen for you. Deuteronomy chapter 15. And we'll see here that God actually expected the people, even living under the time of the law, to have a generous heart. Now, that's amazing. If he expected people under the law of Moses to have a generous heart, how much more does he expect us with a new heart to be generous? So let's begin reading at verse 17. Now, if there's among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart. Say this out loud with me. You shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand. And notice how he connects the hard heart with a closed hand. The hard heart and the closed hand. So if you're closed-fisted, if you're not open-handed in sharing, you have a hard. You have a hard what? Hard heart. Okay. So he says, you shall not harden your heart and shut your hand from the poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide. It would be enough if he just said you'd open your hand, but he said open it wide, which means generous. It just doesn't mean give, it means generous. To him and be willing to lend him sufficient for his need, whatever his needs have. Now watch how God begins to deal with a selfish heart. We continue reading. We go to verse 9 of Deuteronomy 15. He says, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, now this is the thought, saying this, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. All right, so let me explain to you what's going on here. What is this year of release? What's the 7 years? They had a very interesting thing back then, that every 7 years, if you had borrowed money from somebody, every 7 years you were released from your debt. We could do with some of that, couldn't we? Yeah, awesome. Okay, so you get 7 years to pay back your debt, and, you know, 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is. But then as you approach the seventh year, the person who are lending the money gets this thought. Hey, man, we're 1 year away. There's no way he's going to pay me back $1 million. Not going to happen. And then I'm going to have to release him. I don't think so. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And God said that's a wicked thought. He said, that's a selfish thought. If you take into consideration how close you are to the year of release, and you figure out that that's the reason whether you're going to lend or not, it's a selfish heart. It's a selfish thought. And that's difficult to do because, honestly, we can all count to seven. Right? And we can all know when it's like the sixth year and there's one more year to go. But he says, don't let this thought come in. It's wicked and it's selfish. Now, I wonder why God asked us to be givers back right here, and I'll show you the New Testament as well, and then to be generous. Not only to be givers, but to be generous givers. Why would he put that in? Anybody got any idea? How many think because he needed money? No, nobody thinks because he needed money? I will tell you why he did it. All right, are you ready? How many want to know why he did it? All right, that's not enough. I'll move on to the next point. Okay, how many want to know? All right, here's the reason he wants to know. Here's the reason. To eradicate selfishness out of our heart. You can't be a giver and be selfish at the same time. And selfishness is the opposite of love. God wants you to be like him, to be loving and to be generous. But if you're selfish and close-fisted, you're not going to be loving and kind. So he says, I want you to be a giver. Now, everybody who's not a giver makes excuses for it. And I'm not picking on anybody today. We've got the most generous church that I know of. So please understand something. I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm trying to show you how this thing works. So we're generous of heart. Means we don't have a hard heart. We have a heart of love and a heart of gratitude. So that's why I believe he did it, is to actually work greed and to work selfishness out of our heart. So we have to deal with a selfish heart, and our heart needs to be generous. And I'm going to look at the heart of what it means to be generous. Get right down to the details here. The scripture we just read, Luke 6:38, says, give, and it will be what? Given to you. Give, and it will be given to you. So there's clear. Jesus said it. It's Jesus speaking, and he says, if you give, you can expect to receive. Give, and it will be given to you. Correct? Well, you notice he mentioned, you know, don't judge, don't be condemning, be forgiving, and all of those kind of stuff. None of them is talking about money. It's all talking about the heart. But then we do see this portion that says, give, and it will be given to you again. Now, watch this. Listen carefully to me, because I don't want you to misunderstand. We can totally use that scripture, give, and it will be given to us. We can use that scripture in order to receive. Says so. But if you're only looking to use that scripture in order to get, then you're operating out of what? Selfishness. And I've got news for you. How about it won't work? God protects his word. God protects his principles. But you see, there are some people, and I know, I've, as a pastor and teaching this material, I've had people come up to me and say, okay, pastor, I heard what you said. I've put $50 in a plate, and when I get my return, I'll give again. I had a multimillionaire lady say, all right, I mean, her income was $250,000 a year. She was very wealthy, big farmer. And she said, I've never given, but I see this in the Bible, so I'm going to give $1,000, and I'm going to see what happens. And about a month later, she came back to me, and she said, you know, I can't sleep at night. So I said, why? She said, I gave so much money. I'm having to take medicinal alcohol to help me sleep. True story. And then the crop time was coming. Harvest time was coming. So she came to me and she said, would you pray for the harvest? So I said, so you gave $1,000 6 months ago, and now you want to pray for the harvest? She said, yes. I said, okay, well, you know, God's gracious to the wicked and the unkind. Then pray. She had a bumper crop, and I said to her, will you promise to tithe from your crop? She said, oh, yeah. She had the biggest crop ever. She is like a huge crop. Everybody else's wasn't working. Hers worked. And she never gave a dime back to God. Not a dime. The next year, around harvest time, she came to me for prayer. True story. God's my witness. I've lived a long time. I've seen a lot of these things. Pastor, pray for me. I said, you know, here's the thing, sweetheart. I don't have any faith to pray for you. We have to have faith to believe for this to happen. And I said, you know, I honestly don't. Because you made a promise to God, and you weren't grateful enough that when God did bless you, I mean, you asked to see what was going to happen, and he, out of his mercy and kindness and graciousness, he blessed you beyond words. And even then, you didn't respond. Where's the gratitude in your heart? So I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to do it. You're going to have to just, you know, be on your own. And she said, no, I really need God to do this. I really need God. And I said, I'm sorry, love. I'm sorry. You know, you had an opportunity to do what you did. Well, that year, her crop was totally wasted. It was destroyed. She had no income. Now, I'm not saying God destroyed it, but I am saying this, that he blessed, and then he held his hand back. You don't think God gives us an opportunity to respond? He gives us an opportunity, and then he said, well, you don't want to respond, that's fine. I'm moving on to the next person. And so all I'm saying is this, when you give, if you give out of a purely selfish motive, like this lady did, it's not going to work. But even God is gracious to the unkind. So if your heart is grateful, then your giving will be out of gratitude. So again, if your heart is grateful, your giving will be out of gratitude. And then whatever you receive. Now listen carefully. Let me say it this way. Whether you ever receive anything back or not, it doesn't matter. Over and above the cross and over and above what I received in the cross, if I don't get anything back, it wouldn't matter. Listen, just being saved is good enough. I don't need anything else All the others is peripheral. All the others is side things. I don't need those side benefits. I'm grateful to God for them. But I tell you what, just knowing him and knowing that I'm forgiven and knowing that I've got peace with God, that's enough for me. The fact that he says, if you give, it's going to get back. I say, well, that's just like over the top. So my heart of gratitude doesn't really care whether I get anything back or not. That's not my motive for giving. My motive for giving is gratitude. It's gratitude. Okay? The fact is that he gives it back, and you know what? It works. It's all about gratitude. So it's not the, so this giving and you'll receive, it's not the motive that we give, but it's the reward for giving with the right heart. Now I can tell you this, that if you are in deep financial difficulties and you're not tithing and you're not giving in any way, I promise you now, you're never going to get out of it until you start to trust God in this realm of finances. And when you begin to trust God and give God out of gratitude, he will deliver you financially. That's his promise. That's the way it works. Okay? So, moving right along. So, we have to deal now with a grieving heart. We've dealt with selfishness, and we're looking at the heart of generosity. The heart of generosity is giving whether we receive anything back or not. The heart of generosity is giving because I'm grateful. But I want to deal with a grieving heart concerning giving. So go back to Deuteronomy, same chapter, reading chapter 10. We now reached chapter 15. We now reach verse 10. Now God says, you shall surely give to him. This is the poor person. And your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all which you put your hand to. The question is, why would somebody be grieved with giving to God? How come? Why would they be grieved? Well, you know, last Sunday when Pastor Cindy did the offering, she had Jeff jump up with the $20, and everybody was like, well, what's all that sort of about? And he was so quick to give the $20, and she told us a story later on that she actually gave him the $20 before the service, that it was her money. And so when she asked for it back, he was, yeah, sure, here it is. Well, here's the thing. You're only grieved when giving if you think you're giving what's yours. If you know that it's God's, why would you be grieved giving back to him what's already his? How many are with me? Okay. How many of you know that God has given you everything that you have? All right. It's all his anyway. You're his and everything he has, it's his. So if he asked you to do something, you wouldn't be grieving, shouldn't be grieved about it because it's his anyway. So watch what he says now. Here he says, surely, you shall surely give to him and your heart shall not be grieved when you do it. Now, I want to take you to the New Testament. I want to do a parallel verse in the New Testament. This is the same principle as found in the New Testament. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And it goes like this. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. That's the measure. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So there's the measure attached. Verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So here it's about the heart. And it's about you deciding what you want to do from your heart. You're not being forced to do it. You're not being compelled to do it. There's no compulsion to do it. You're doing it from your heart. You're making up your own mind. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Not grudgingly, so don't do it with a grieving heart. And not out of necessity. You know, the necessity is where somebody puts pressure on you. Somebody puts pressure on you to give. And then you give reluctantly because you feel like this is awkward. I'm going to have to do it. And so the scripture is saying, when you give, if you give bountifully, you're going to receive bountifully back, and then you must purpose in your own heart what you're going to do and how you're going to give it. And when you give it, don't do it grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what? A what kind of a giver? So it doesn't say hurtful giver. It says a cheerful giver. So if you're giving and it's hurting you, that means you're grieving when you're giving. And my suggestion is you have to have a heart change so that you can give joyfully. So God loves a cheerful giver. That's exactly what he said back in Deuteronomy, did he not? He said he wants you to be joyful in your giving. And you remember back in Deuteronomy, he said, because of this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all which you put your hand to. That was the promise. Now have a look at the New Testament promise. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. Tell me if that's not the same scripture, man. Is it not? It's amazing how accurately Paul the apostle takes the Old Testament principle and puts it into the New Testament and says it's the same thing. God is going to bless you. Everything you do, everything you put your hand to, it's going to be blessed. So bottom line is we have to develop a generous heart, yes? You have to. In order to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, you have to have a generous heart. You can't have a hard heart. You can't have a closed heart because there's people about you that are in need. There's poor people about you that are in need. There's your brothers that are in need. We have a ministry in India, and we will receive an offering for them on the first week of December. We always do. We have orphans in India that we take care of, and we've been doing it for many years, maybe 20 years or more. And we've been ministering to them. Now about 2,000 of those orphans are actually in ministry. They've grown up, went through college, grown up, gone into ministry. So we've got a wonderful, wonderful heritage that we've been taking care of these people. And every Christmas, we pay for them to get a Christmas gift. We pray for them to have a Christmas meal. We put some clothing on them and stuff like this. And we just love these little guys out there. And we know that we're sowing into good ground. Okay, so we do that. We're being blessed with our Christmas and our Thanksgiving, but we don't forget the others that are less fortunate than us. And it doesn't matter if we give $5, $10, $20, whatever you give, as long as you give it cheerfully, without being giving under compulsion, and you're giving it because you have the heart of God to give, to care for somebody else. Okay? So we'll be doing that the first week of December. But now, to develop a generous heart, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy, believe it or not, back to chapter 15, same chapter. Now we're in verse 11. Continue to read. He said, for the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you. So back in these days, God commanded people through the like Moses' law. I command you. I command you. You will do it. You have to do it. I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide. One, to your brother. Two, to the poor, and three, to the needy that's in your hand, in your land. He commands them to do it. In the New Testament, we are told to develop the heart of God, the God kind of heart. So now we're going to go to Luke chapter 6. This is what Jesus was talking about. This is the verse we've been reading all morning. We're going to go to Luke 6, and we're going to pick it up at verse 31. Do to others as you'd have them to do to you. Is that famous or not? Right? Famous. Some guru didn't figure that out. Jesus did. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. Now watch this. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid. Now we have to look at the heart of the Christian. Verse 35, but. Everybody say but. Love your enemies. Oops. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. How contrary is that? That's so opposite, isn't it? Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. I told you the story about that lady. How many here this morning has God been kind to you when you are still ungrateful? Come on now. Everybody's hand should be up in the air right now. And he was kind to you when you were wicked, right? Mm-hmm. See, the scripture says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, that's graciousness beyond words. That's love beyond words. That he cared that much to die for us when we did. We were spitting in his face and cursing, and we didn't care about him. We want nothing to do with God whatsoever in our life. Get out of my life. If somebody tried to preach to you, shut up. Stop preaching to me. Get the Bible away from me, you Bible thumper. All these things we say to people. I know. I was guilty. I used to say that to people. I was terrible. I'm not proud of it. I was just terrible. I was an ugly person. But we're thankful now, amen? He showed us mercy when we didn't deserve it. We didn't even ask for it. We didn't even ask for the mercy. So if he showed us mercy when we didn't even ask for it, how much mercy would he show you now if you asked for it? Huh? And people think, well, you know, I'm not sure that God will forgive me. Just shut up. Listen, he was willing to die for you before you even thought about him, didn't care about him. I can guarantee you now, if you're trying to live for him and you slip up and make a mistake, he's going to be right there. All the mercy, all the grace to love you. Because the heart of God is undeserved generosity. Undeserved generosity. So why are we generous then? Why as believers, why is the promised church? Why are Christians? Well, they should be. Now, not all Christians are. And I do think that if they sat under my teaching for a month or so, they might change. Okay? They might change. Because I'm not afraid to preach the truth. This is what the word says. Why are we so generous? Why am I generous? Why is Jackie so generous? Let me tell you why. I have never gotten over being saved. I still think that I was one of the worst investments he ever made when he brought me into this. It's like, you don't know what you're doing. This is a terrible risk that you're taking with me. But I am so grateful now. When I look back, and I got born again when I was 20 years old, you say, man, how much bad sinning can you do? I only need 3 years. That's all I needed. Jesus was ministering for 3 years. I was in the world for 3 years, from 16 to 19. Yep. Been there, done that, and bought a t-shirt. And God saved me. God saved me. Thank God he did. And you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing about it is that the longer that I serve the Lord, the more grateful I become. You know, there's a song that used to go like, you know, he gets sweeter every day. And it's not that he's getting sweeter as much as that I'm getting more grateful, because it's like this light has opened up and I'm seeing all that he's done for me. I'm seeing heaven. I'm seeing everything he's provided for me. And every day I'm amazed. I'm shocked. I'm overwhelmed at his goodness and his kindness and his mercy to me. And the new revelation I get of how good he is, I go, what? What? I mean, seriously, it gets to the place where it's so overwhelming. And the longer I walk with him, the more of I see what he's done for me, and I enjoy more of what he's done. So there's this gratitude that is, I feel like I just got saved. And I just keep looking back, and I'm just so thankful for where I've come from. So why are we generous? Because we're blessed and grateful. Blessed and grateful. So my generosity stems out of gratitude. Nothing else. I'm just thankful, and so I give. And the fact that he gives back to me is like, are you kidding? Can't I even do something that you don't do something back? Seriously, you have to steal my glory. I'm really trying to do something here. But you can't outgive God. You jump right on there, and he gives you, says, so you think, huh? That's the best you can do? All right, watch this. We have developed a grateful heart, have we not? So how do we show it? I'm going to give you four things how we show a grateful heart. Number one, we show it by our love for each other. When you're grateful that God has saved you, you can be gracious and loving and kind to your neighbor and to your friend and your brother. Isn't that true? The more grateful you are, the more loving you'll be. Number two, you're servant-hearted towards your brothers. Nothing is too small, nothing is too big. We've had people come and offer to work the Christmas dinner and not even sit down and eat and say, we'll just keep working, we'll stay in the kitchen, and we'll just work it. Do you know what that speaks about? Love and servant-heartedness. That's gratitude from the depth of their being. I just want to serve somebody. Their joy, their fulfillment of giving back comes from serving, whether it's vacuuming the carpets, cleaning the restrooms, serving dinners, taking care of kids. It doesn't matter. No job is too small. I came this morning and I saw, I think it's Lou. Is it Lou who was working out there putting up the tables? Ray. He's hiding back somewhere now. There he is, Ray. And he was out there putting up the tables and everything. I said, hey, you better take it careful, you know. Don't overdo it now. And he was out there carrying the tables and putting out. And my heart just melted to have servant-hearted, to have that servant-hearted. It comes from gratitude. It comes from, Lord, whatever. It doesn't matter. What can I do? So number one, we love each other. We serve each other. Number three, we show that our generosity and our gratitude by our praise and worship of God. When we stand up and we give the praise and worship to His name, and we just do it because we love the Lord. And number four, because of the generosity, we give generously both to God and to others. You know, I want to say something. I see he's not here. Paul F., I see Susan here. And Paul is not here. He's in LA. So I'm going to talk to him about him behind his back. Okay? Paul, as you know, is the gentleman that had his hands burnt off and his body burnt. You've all seen him. He was a child of six years old, and he's going to give his testimony one of these days in December. He's going to give the full testimony. But he was in his room, six-year-old child. His friend started a fire and left him to burn, ran away, and he couldn't get out. And from the heat, the flesh just burnt off, just fell off his body. And he didn't get saved until 10 years ago, 12 years ago? Okay. So he's lived 40, 45 years, 30 years, so in that condition, with his body burnt, fingers missing. I think he has one finger left, his thumb. At the prayer meeting on Wednesday, he came up to me and he was wearing a mitten that you had made him, a little black mitten. And he looked like one of those Muppets from the children's church. You know, he had a thing like this, and he said to me, look at my prayer mitten that Susan made me. And by the way, this man is so humorous, you will not believe it. He is so funny. And you all kind of go up all coy because he's been burnt and everything, and you're so like all coy. And then he's cracking a joke, and you're not sure that he's really joking. He actually is joking. Right, Susan? He actually is really joking. He has an amazing thing, but God has so done something in his life in the last 10 or 11, 12 years since he's been born again, but he's lived all that. Now, here I'm going to tell you something. I watch when people are worshiping. I watch. That's my job. I'm a fruit inspector. I'm looking for fruit. And I see him raising his two stumps to God that are burnt, broken, and torn. And I see a man who's grateful and who's not embarrassed of what he looks like. But he loves Jesus. And he's going to lift his hands to Jesus no matter what. And I look around my congregation and I see people with their hands down who have two hands in perfect condition and don't have the gratitude. Don't have the gratitude for the cross. Lift their hands. You want to know why we make praise and worship a fundamental absolute in this church? Because we are grateful. We are grateful that we're saved. And we tell Him any way we can, whether we have whole hands or has Jackie one hand. And she'll lift that one hand. And every service, you'll see, if you're sitting here, you'll see her trying to lift the other hand. Trying to lift the other hand because she wants to get both hands up to God. Church, if we're truly blessed and grateful, Then show it. Come on, church. If you're whole, don't sit back there and tell me, I'm embarrassed. I'm shy. I don't want people looking at me. Really? How would you like to have no hands and not care if somebody looks at you? Let's stand. I think we need to worship just a little bit, don't you? Can we have the band up? I'm blessed and I'm grateful. I'm so thankful to God for my salvation. And every day, I'm more grateful. We're going to sing one of those beautiful worship songs that we did towards the end.